podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to Powered4.tv, Big Fight Weekly, episode 19. And have we got a special guest for you? See you on the other side after this new intro. Right, a different way of doing the show as we open today. We've got a special guest all the way from Hawaii. Chris has worked to get people on. We've got one hell of a guest. Chris, do the intro for our guest today on the show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's a former Bellator light heavyweight champion, the first UK champion in America. Put your hands together for Liam McGeary.
Good morning.
How you doing, mate?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. So let's start off with things, because I know we're on the time limit because you've got training to get to. Let's have a small introduction of how you broke into mixed martial arts from there.
I moved over to Jersey when I think I was about 20. I don't even know how old I was. I was in my 20s, and there was a club over there. And I just went Gracie Baja, Channel Islands. I went and trained there a couple of times, and basically just took it from there, really. My friend Michael Canyas started a show, the Rumble on the Rock. I got a fight on there. My first fight I missed because of injury, but then the second fight I came in, and I think I won in like just under a minute or something like that. And it's kind of skyrocketed from there. And I was only 27. I think I was 27 at the time at the start.
So quite under the radar when you first started, because it was your first two fights were in Jersey, UK, weren't they? Was it before you
yeah,
went
that's
to?
Right.
And then you went to New Jersey in America then for your, was it your third fight in?
Third fight, yeah. And then, and a bit of a journey.
Well, it's a bit of, it's a bit.
Gotcha. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, Liam. Were you at light heavyweight in the early days of your career?
Yeah, I've always been light heavyweight. I wasn't. Yeah. I was only skinny like before I started really training. I think it's what 93 kilos is it in England? Yeah. So 93. I was never 93 kilos. I was stood fighting Sean Lomas on it with a pair of jeans on the scale at 91 kilos, and that's not cutting any weight. Not like literally having a burger or something before I went for the weigh-ins, so I really never used to cut weight.
What was your transition then? So obviously you trained. Did you trained in the UK when you were fighting in the UK, or were you training in America?
No, I never trained.
So you went straight into battle then.
Pretty much. Like I went to I started boxing when I was younger. Sorry, man. I started boxing when I was younger, but I wasn't very good. And I just worked in construction, drinking and just having parties and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The recession started for you, mate.
Exactly. Hey, it's 7 o'clock in the morning here. So I just got my coffee. The second cup. I worked in construction, mate. Like, the recession kicked in and everything stopped. I was delivering TVs for this company, Fortuna. And it was crap, you know what I mean? But at least I wasn't so tired, so I could finish work quickly and then go to the gym, train for about 5-6 hours, and then go home, you know? So yeah, it was just a timing thing. And I guess it was the right time for me to go forward and pursue this fight career.
Obviously, you had three fights. Was it your fourth or fifth fight? You joined Bellator then. Was it your fourth or was it your fifth?
No, it was my fourth.
Your fourth fight. Explain to me how did that go about then? How did they sort of open the door for you to join Bellator?
So I was training at Kurt Pellegrino's gym in New Jersey, and nothing was kind of happening. There's a load of small guys at that gym. So I was like, lads, you're not really paying too much attention. I understand, you know, the new guys just come in. you don't, like, you've got plenty of other fighters to look after. I'll go find someone who's my own size. No, wait, give me 5 minutes, right? He comes back out of the office, he's like, I've got your contract with Bellator. I was like, so that is all I had to do, just basically threat to leave the gym, and you get me a contract. So, all right, sound. But because of the visa that I was on, I had to go home, back to England, sort out all the visas and paperwork and things like that, and then come back to America, which took, I think it took about 8 months to sort out the first time. So I was gone a bit. Then as soon as I came back, then that's when I started and I had the debut. I can't even remember the dude's name now. Wrestler. I know it was a wrestler. Anton Talamantes, that's the one.
And you finished him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to kick him in the head. But that would have been cruel. Like,
great introduction to Bellator, as you know, you doing that. As we go into Bellator, so your first eight fights, you obviously won them all. How was that though? You know, because obviously you've just come in, so I suppose people who are watching Bellator were like, who's this Liam McGeary guy? And you've just rattled off eight fights in a row, you know, winning them all. How did that feel as in yourself?
I mean, to be honest, it all happened so quick. I don't think I'd give it time to just to sink in. When it did sink in, then it was too late then, because I was already injured. But I think because it was just one fight after another, after another, after another, I literally would finish one camp fight, have a week off, and then I'd be straight back in the gym. Sometimes even back in the gym the same week. Like, so I just kind of carried on with the motion and just let it go and just followed wherever it went to the world title.
How were you mentally, Liam? You know, big arenas over there, going into that. You know, how is it the mental side for you?
The mental side was. It wasn't so bad. Like I say, I didn't think about it. I knew what I was. I was going in there to fight, right? Mm-hmm. I've been fighting all my life. It was just another punch up that I was just getting ready for. And when you're getting ready for a war, I don't really think about too much of what's going on around me. You know, like, I was single. I was living on my own. I was staying in a place in the Bronx. I was getting the train to the gym every day. You know, I had my headphones in, and it really, life outside my own bubble, I didn't really care for it. It didn't bother me. You know what I mean? I knew what I was supposed to do. I was going into a fight. I knew that the guy was going to hurt me, so I wanted to hurt him before. So it really didn't leave room for any other things that was going on, you know, which is a shame because, like, I miss birthdays, weddings, christenings, funerals, everything, you know. But this is the path of the warrior, you know. If you want to succeed, then you've got to make all these sacrifices to go on. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to get distracted and then be like, you know what? I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then it's late. You've lost the focus.
It's a selfish sport, though, isn't it? Really, you have to look after yourself, and you are the number one in your life. There's nothing else ever. You're in that tunnel, and you're going straight. There's nothing else stopping you. You know what I mean? You haven't got no distractions. You have to think of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just such a dangerous sport. You know, anything can happen, and you have to be on it. You have to be ready, and you have to be in shape. That's the most important thing.
I want to get to your thoughts now of you becoming the champion. You beat Newton, didn't you? Unanimous decision. You become, well, I was speaking to Stuart before we went live, and I'm quite tiffed with this because you are the first UK champion over in America. Before Michael Bisping.
Yeah. Before Conor McGregor.
Before Conor McGregor, but he's Irish, so it's just a bit different, isn't it? But you didn't get the recognition. In my eyes, as a fan and someone who's watches a lot of MMA, and I follow UK fighters especially, you know, because that's what we do, isn't it? You know, like football, we follow our own. You didn't get the recognition. You didn't get the recognition as much as the likes of Michael Bisping did.
I thought about that the other day, actually. And I was like, I was the same person on the world champion, but they just didn't promote me enough, I don't think. You know what I mean? All I was supposed to do was fight. You know what I mean? That was what I was supposed to do. The promotion is supposed to promote and do the promote their champions. You know, and I never felt that. But plus, after Tito Ortiz, the very next day I was in surgery. So I had 2015. mate, it's been one surgery after another, to be honest with you. So, and like I say, this game is very tough. It's very hard on the body. I'm getting older now, so the injuries don't heal up as quick. So I had that knee surgery after Tito Ortiz, and then it was just a slippery slide, really. And I've just been trying to get back to the fitness of where I was at and where my body was at. But like I say, coming up to 39 now, so it took a battering over the last few years. So we'll see. You know what I mean?
Did the UK press not contact you when you won? Did you not get any of that at all?
Nah, not really. And again, to be honest with you, mate, it didn't really bother me. It didn't really bother me too much at the time. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, you should be doing. You should. I was like, fucking hell, mate. There should be a lot of things going on, but all I know is I'm going to the gym. I'm going to go train, and I'll worry about whatever I need to worry about afterwards. You know what I mean? And now I'm thinking about it. It's like, well, it is what it is. You know, this is what this game is. I see how like all the other fighters, they promote this, they say that they're like talking shit down the microphone.
That just wasn't
me, man. I came from the era of fighters where with fighters, like, we just fight. Not
fighters fight.
Yeah, you know, not so much as a showman as much as a professional wrestling side of things. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That wasn't the sport when I got into it. It was pure MMA fighting. Mm-hmm. They were badass motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish, being the age I am, I kind of think now, maybe if I had gotten back into it 20 years ago, like when I was half my age, what would have happened? But again, I was running around France at 20 years old, so like I wouldn't have lived the life that I lived before MMA to make me the person who I was, to become the champion, to think, well, I don't necessarily actually need my name and face blasted all over the place. If they don't want to do it, I know I won the belt. My mates know I won the belt. My family know I won the belt. And to be honest with you, that's all that mattered, really. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was just an added bonus. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, but it frustrates me as a fan. And as I said, you know, me and Stuart, you know, we are avid UK fans of, you know, the mixed martial arts, you know, in Bellator, in UFC, in ONE FC, in PFL, you know, and the list goes on. So I like, you know, that you should have got the recognition. And, you know, I mean, I like Michael Bisping as well. And I was chuffed when he won as well, but I was more chuffed when you won because you were the first to do it. You were, you know, that's something you can never lose. That is in your legacy now. I felt that I was there with you when I watched it because, I mean, I've been wanting a UK guy, you know, to come in and, you know, actually do this. But what makes me think now is if that was you and you did that in the UFC, the whole different ball game you would have got there, you would have been known then. Everybody would have known. And it just frustrates me. It's hard that you don't get that recognition and everyone else just goes straight to Michael Bisping beating Luke Rockhold, where in fact, obviously, you were the guy. You were the first. That's what I'm going to say. That's what really sort of grinds my gears about it, really. But, I mean, you still did it.
I had a few interviews where Bisping, he's like, yeah, I'm the first English UFC champion. And I'm like, yeah, you catch yourself there, mate. Like, I understand,
See, that's annoying. Yeah, you should have got the recognition before him.
Should have, could have.
Yeah.
5 years ago now, you know what I mean? Now I'm sitting in Hawaii drinking a cup of coffee. Like, so I got a gym, which I'm opening up. So, again,
life's good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get the frustration, but I've been frustrated. I've been pissed off. I've been annoyed. I've been all of those emotions and that. It's like, well, it's past. It's done. It's now time to move on for the next thing. So, the most frustrating part is my jaw and my body, you know what I'm saying? So that's the one thing I've now got to worry about.
Will you get back in will you get back in there? It's been, you know, 2019, the last fight.
Phil Davis.
Do you have any aspirations to get back in?
Yeah, man. But so the last couple of years have been rough, like with Corona and the jaw injury. Yeah. And I managed to get back to America, and I just found out I need to go for a third procedure on my jaw, so it's going to be another 6 months. So, like, I don't know. Like I say, man, this game is fucking rough. I never thought I'd never break my jaw or like hands, legs, arms, okay, right? But the jaw, just never even thought about it, you know. But yeah, third procedure, and that, like, so I do want to get into it, and I really do, but like I'm not going in there half like broken. I did that way too many times. Too old for that shit now. Like, let me fix myself up.
It must frustrate you then when you're watching the Bellator light like, heavyweight Grand Prix, because you were fit and ready. You'd be there.
The one place that was my place, you know. I think they got some. I don't even know who he was, what his name was or anything. They put that one guy in there. I think against Corey.
Yazyk Mergdov.
Yeah, you know, and that was my spot. But I was stuck in England, you know, so I could. And you know, what England's been like. I don't know how it is now, but. The gyms, they closed the gyms down fucking Boxing Day. So I was training and teaching and doing well. Then all of a sudden it closes down in the Boxing Day, and then it's nothing. So, like, it's all been frustrating, man. It's all been enough, but you get frustrated, you get pissed off about it, and then what are you going to do?
Take it out on somebody at the gym.
You can't, it's fucking closed. So, like, I went and threw a load of steel around, which is the next best thing, you know what I mean? So I put, like, 200 ton of steel in about 4 or 5 weeks. So I just told my boss, just give me the drawings, leave me alone, let me fucking throw the steel in, and I'll be fine.
I think we need to. Sorry, go on, Chris. You go first, pal.
No. Honestly, you go first.
I think we need to ask you about Liam McGeary's Fight Club MMA and submission grappling there in the lovely Honolulu in Hawaii, and what's happening with that.
And how did you get to Hawaii? How did that all come about?
I met my wife in New York, and then sort of just started a family, and then she lives in Hawaii. So says, all right, I'll be on a plane there.
Can't go wrong with that.
But I mean, I've wanted to open up somewhere for a long time. Again, the frustrations of the jaw of the last 2 years, basically, and any time before that, I was too busy fighting to pay attention and to put all my focus in on other fighters. But now things are kind of slowing up. I've got this another six month gap. So I was like, right, I'm here. I can talk. This next procedure I'm not going to get wired up afterwards. So at least that's a plus thing for this one. So I just think the timing is right now to open up and see where we go. But I've got other plans as well. So I just got them in there. So just stay tuned. There's a lot going on. I've been sitting there pondering for the last 2 years. That's pretty much it.
We'll get you back on as well, and you can promote all that with us. You know what I mean? Once you've got something, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Hopefully, it'll be in the UK as well. So
that'd be brilliant.
That's my plan. Like,
keeping yourself busy, which is good as well.
Yeah, I've got 3 kids.
I'm with you with that, mate. I've got 3 kids myself, and we've all just.
Oh my god!
It just happens
all of a sudden, and like everything's calm. Then it just like, what the hell? This has gone wrong. That's gone wrong. It's like chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
You two are putting me off here. That I haven't got any kids yet.
You have to turn into an octopus, mate.
Yeah, they're great fun catching one in one arm and the other one. The other one's trying to get into the toilet. You're like trying to clean your teeth. Like, fucking hell, kids.
It's the biggest battle. It's bigger than your battles in the cage, Liam.
It really is. It really is.
They push. They can push buttons that no fighter could ever push.
Jesus. Yeah.
I was going to ask
and
you.
One of, them, one of them hits terrible threes now as well, so it's just like, No.
I'm past that. My oldest is 14, so he's going for the teenager stage now.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. That I got to look forward to.
And I've got 2 girls who are 9 and 5, so they're quite placid. I mean, you can give them YouTube and they can disappear for the day normally.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about you fought Linton Vassell, didn't you, Bellator London. And I just want to know, how does it feel to fight a fellow Brit when you're in the bigger company and you're both quite close in the rankings? The word I'm looking for is, do you feel like I don't really want to fight a fellow Brit? I'd rather fight someone else, or does it not really matter the way you look at it?
Yeah, it didn't really matter the way I looked at it. Like, we're friends, you know what I mean? So it wasn't a case of like, I was fighting we needed to make enemies or anything like that, you know what I mean? So we both spoke, it was like, look, we're just going to get paid and we've got to do what we've got to do.
Yes.
Simple as that. We both need to put food in front of us, so I pay our bills. Let's do, go do what we've got to do. And that's all that happened. I ain't even seen that fight yet.
I watched a couple today. I had to rewatch an Nemkov fight and Phil Davis, your second Phil Davis fight, obviously your last one. I mean, I'm still impressed with everything you were doing. You know, your movement was still fantastic. Your cardio, and especially against Nemkov and those leg kicks you were getting. You know, most people would be like, "Yeah, I've had enough by the first second round." But you went, you know, all the way to the third round, and you took a lot of kicks.
Nemkov, I had no right being in that cage. I just got off, I broke my thumb. I broke my thumb 7 weeks prior to that fight. And then when the cast came off and the pins came out, then I had 6 weeks to train for Nemkov. I couldn't even throw my right hand. People are asking me, why didn't you switch answers? So I never had a right hand. Like, I never threw one right hand, or if I did, it was very weak.
Can you hide? Is it possible to hide an injury? Or are you getting tested and are they checking you out?
I mean, you get checked out, right? But same as anything. Do you feel all right? Yeah. You ready to go? Yeah. Let's go. Inside, it's like, fuck, you know what you're doing to me? It's killing me. We can't do this, will you?
But you've had two difficult injuries. Because can you tell me where in your second Phil Davis fight is where you felt the jaw go?
First round or second round? He kicked me in the face as I was getting up. It was an illegal kick, right?
Yes.
You know, and I felt the click, a crack, right? I was like, that can't be good. So I kind of just kept my mouth, just bit down on my mouthpiece and just carried on. Mm. And the second round, it was hurting in the end between the second and third round. And my coach gave me this almighty speech. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm just going to go out. So I didn't say anything. I just stood up, went out, and then I thought it was going pretty well until he hit me with that jab. And then I didn't even know how long was left, but my mouth must have been open a little bit, and it kind of, as he hit me, oh, my God. Like, I watched the video. I turned the fight off when I heard that. I was like, I know how this ends. But, dude, oh, my God. I've never felt pain like it. And I put myself through some fucking torturous things, right? But this, that was just next level.
I was gonna
go on my face.
Yeah, but he had you on the floor. He had you on the bat mat, didn't he? And he was sort of going over the top of you, didn't he? When you were down, and you were sort of trying to block.
Well, he hit me in the side of the face. Well, it was this side, so he hit me in the side of the face of the jaw, right? So I kind of just turned my head and put my face on the side of the mat, right? And I covered my other head up the side.
Yeah.
The referee should have been stopping the fight because of this fucking earpiece before that. He should have stopped the fight because of a verbal tap, right? He didn't. And then he reached round, and as he reached round, he grabbed my face, and that was the one where I was like, it felt like electric shot up to my brain and all the way down my body. I was like, nah, get off me, please. I was like, enough. He's like, what? I said, dude, you broke my jaw. He said, I fucking knew you weren't going to tap from that. People are like, you tap from a punch. I said, mate, you get the fuck in here and break your jaw and then continue fighting and tell me when you're going to tap.
We're all as fans, we're all full of it, aren't we? But until you get in there, listening to know what you've been through, like, different. Everyone's an expert, aren't they?
I'll turn you off, hold
on. I don't know. Can you hear us?
No, he's blazed. Here we go. I think I knocked the button on the earpiece. Now I can hear you.
Yeah.
Right, we're back.
I don't know. I don't want to give too much time because obviously I know you've got training in half an hour, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I've got to go open up in 30 minutes.
So we've got two questions left. So I'll fire mine, and Stuart will go after myself. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the whole Tito thing because obviously my first ever MMA fight I ever watched was the first ever Tito and Liddell fight, and then you know I fell in love then, and I mean I was sold for life.
I think I watched the same one.
Oh, there you go, Lindsay. It was a great fight. You beat Tito, and you were the first person to submit him. And when I saw that, I mean, you've been an English guy, and yes, I am biased when it comes to UK fighters. I'm not going to lie. That's the way I am. But when you beat him and you beat him by submission, mate, I could have punched a hole in the wall with, you know, like, loved it.
Yeah. No, I was buzzing with that one. And I kind of knew, I knew what he was going to try and do. We've been working high elbow guillotines in the gym like the last few weeks. And I do not know why. When he shot in for that takedown, I went for a high elbow guillotine. I was like, I can't even get my hands around this dude's neck. So I was like, trying to struggle there. I was like, yeah. So he ended up in the position which I kind of figured that he would. But I knew he was going to put that pressure down on top of me. So I was like, man, I think I even told him, we go down to the ground, I'm going to submit you. Yeah. In Tito's fashion. Just told you.
I've got a picture. We usually do this when we do our show. So I thought this was great, an iconic picture. It'll come up on your screen now. Just love that picture.
Oh, yeah.
Love that picture.
He wouldn't stop looking at me.
At least you didn't get any of his cheesy sort of fight lines. It's him and Chael Sonnen. I had to turn it off after a while because it was dreadful. I know Chael Sonnen can speak and Chael's very good, but Tito, I didn't realise how bad he was.
Didn't he have like a juice carton? He's got crushed a juice carton or something. Like,
Pro wrestling. But borrowing from pro wrestling for build-up sometimes.
That's where it's gone to now. And it's like, man, I'm fucking fuck you up in the cage, right? I don't want to sit there and make myself look like a clown and try and be fucking, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that. Like, crush you like a juice can. I'm going to punch you in the face and see how you fucking take that, right? Afterwards, I'm going to kick you in the leg, right? Let's see how we go from there.
Chris, have you got any last one?
I have. Before you go, because we know you're busy, you've got to get down to the gym. Some tips. You're going to be training people at the gym. But yeah, tips for guys that want to get into MMA and, you know, feel that they could get maybe to pro level. Liam McGeary's tips.
My tip, keep going. When you've got that little voice in your head that says, oh, no, you can't stop, keep going. Push past it. Break past it. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to anybody else. Just keep pushing on. You're never going to make you. Watch me. Right? That's all you got to say. And just keep doing. Just keep doing you.
Perfectly put. Chris.
It's the best bit of advice I can give.
Absolutely.
Don't eat yellow snow.
Well, that depends if you've had too many beers. Though. Weird things can happen then. I'm going to ask you as well before you go. Obviously, are you not interested in the England Germany game? Obviously, me and Stuart aren't because we're here with you. But is that any football?
I haven't followed any of the football. My mates usually phone me up and tell me what's going on. I might see the odd highlight, but again, three kids, different times. We're 11 hours behind you. So, yeah, different time zones.
I obviously with having three kids myself, I completely, you know, I can meet you halfway with this. Okay then, because obviously I know you've got the gym in half an hour, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. I've been trying so many fighters to jump on and have a conversation with us, and you're the first person that actually replied to me and was willing to come on. So, you mean
I was going to chat with a coffee, mate.
You replied to me and, you know, willing to come on. So hopefully, people will see you and do, you know, jump on afterwards. But I really appreciate you coming on, mate. And hopefully we can get you back on in a short time and we can go talk about your gym and hopefully a fight that's coming up.
We'll see. I'm going to get the surgery done and see where we go from there. All right, boys. Right.
Thank you very much, Liam McGeary.
Star, mate. Star.
Take care,
fella. And I think it's time now to go to break. That was Liam McGeary, former light heavyweight champion. He's very busy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.